Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
We say blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. Everybody lift up your hands and appreciate God. We worship, we worship. Mana namo sana rabosa. Nene namo sekane namandala. Jebru saramala karusha nene namo seha. Yeah, as we say that this morning, God bless you. Amen and amen. I want to welcome everybody to this wonderful, beautiful service. God bless and honor you this morning in Jesus' name. All right, I want to welcome us this morning. Yeah, of this and that, without taking active steps, because the difference now, this year, is that we have committed ourselves to taking certain steps in the direction of that which God has spoken, to ensure that we make ourselves ready to experience the fullness of God in this area. We don't want to say this is our year of this and that and then go and sit down. We really want to plug into it. We want to make ourselves available to everything that is in God. We want to make ourselves ready to receive the best that God has for us. I don't know about you, but for me, I've made up my mind that this year, whatever it takes, we're going to get into it. And I told us in a way, just to make it simple for us and to remember, we use the word shelter to remember all the things that we're supposed to do from time to time. So we say S stands for what? Service. S is for service, meaning that as a believer, as a child of God, you should find a place to serve in God's house. Don't just come and go. Don't just warm the benches. Serve. Do something. Find a unit. Join. Tell them, this is what I can do. Find a unit and walk there. Why? Because the Bible says our labor of love, he said, he will not forget. He said there will be a reward, there will be a recompense, and you all need to understand that all of us will stand before God one day. And there are two kinds of judgment. One of the judgments is to decide whether you're going to heaven or hell. I pray we'll all make heaven in Jesus' name. But even after making heaven, there's another judgment called the white throne judgment. In the white throne judgment, Jesus Christ is going to preside over it, and he's going to be asking us one by one what we have done with the giftings and the talents he has given us. How you have used it to advance the local assembly or the church where you are domiciled. How you have served in your unit, and you have to give account as regards that. And the Bible also tells us there's reward about that. The Bible talks about mansions, about crowns, and all of that. And this is not the time to go into that. So, S is for service. H is for what? H is for hour. And said we should do what? Daily. Pray 1 hour daily. Jesus Christ told the disciples, can you not watch with me an hour? So the minimum you should do is an hour. Imagine praying 365 hours this year. It's very easy. Just pray 1 hour a day. And in 365 days, you've done 365 hours and your life will have advanced. And then we say, O is for obedience. Do everything God asks you to do. No dulling, no slacking, no stopping. Whatever he asks you to do, go ahead and do it. And then we say, U is for utterances. That is, that which you say, that which you confess, that which you verbalize. And we all know that our faith process is not complete until we say, if you shall say to this mountain. You have to keep saying. And that's part of what we are looking at this morning. And then we said, T is for what? Is for tithe. In Shout of Grace saying that we all made up our mind last year, beginning of this year, that we would not miss our tithe. Every time you have an increase, you forward it to the bank account. Every time you come into church, remember the weekly increase you've had, and you honor God with a tithe. And we are not saying you should tithe because if you don't tithe, God will kill you or none of that. No. You tithe because it is partnership with God. It's from the viewpoint of a relationship with your father. Just like your earthly father, when there's something they want to do, they want to hold a party, they want to do this, they say you should contribute. It's something you will start doing once you settle down. It's part of family. So with God, it's a family, it's a spiritual family, And so tithe is not from the perspective of, oh, if you don't do it, this and that. No. It's about family. It's about spiritual responsibility. It's about partnership with God. And the understanding is that if I partner with God, my business or the work of my hands or my finances will not suffer. And then we say E is for excellence. You want to do everything. You need to do this here with excellence. And part of doing things with excellence is not checking WhatsApp during message during sermon time. Part of it is not checking Facebook during sermon time. Are you here with me? You do everything excellently. You discipline yourself to do things the way they are supposed to be done. And then we say R is for what? Is for what? I can't hear you. Read, which means you read a book a week. And we are doing that as a group, as a church. We put ourselves in a group this year on Telegram. If you are not there, please ask any of the assistant pastors after the service to add you there. And so what we do is that we read a book a week, and then by Friday we do a review. If you are not aware, 1 week is gone and one book is gone. That's the way it's going to be. If you don't do it, you just go out that November is here, December is here, and you've not read one book at all. So part of it is disciplining yourself as a church and as a house. So let's do this together and as a family. And so today we are giving you another book to read for the week. A book by Creflo Dollars. That's what we are reading for the books. And this one has only 89 pages. Last week was 175 pages. I was thinking maybe that was too much for some of us. So we said 89 pages of a book, which is good for us to read. If you read 20 pages a day, you'll be done by Friday. Very simple. So let's work towards that, and we'll let you know the book we are reading for this week so that your life can advance. So let's get into the topic for today, which is strategic warfare by the blood. We all know that blood is a mysterious substance. Blood is not just a liquid, it's a mysterious substance. The Bible does not tell us the composition or the chemical composition of the blood of Jesus and all of that, but we know that it's a mystery in itself. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible declares and tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Can you say with me, the life of the flesh is in the blood? In other words, when the blood goes out, life has to go out. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, he has no life. So the Bible tells us that God breathed into Adam, life came into him, but that life that came into Adam was held together within the liquid, the blood, within that chemical composition of the blood. So the life of the flesh or the life of God is in the blood itself. Are you following me this morning? So the life of the flesh is where? Is in the blood. Now I want to tell us a few things, five things basically about the blood. The first thing, which is number one, is that blood has a voice. Can you say with me, blood has a voice? Blood has a voice. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, and it said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood. Can you see that? The voice of thy brother's blood. So blood has what? A voice. And this reference here is the blood of a man. It's not even the blood of Jesus. How much more what the blood of Jesus is going to look like? So blood has a voice. So the voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And this is the first time blood is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 4:10. And so if we apply a law called the law of first mention, saying that any part of the scripture where something is mentioned for the first time, you have to always apply that meaning to every other references in the interpretation of sin. So if we apply the law of first mention to Genesis chapter 4 verse 10, we'll discover that there's a truth there, which is the fact that blood has a voice. You can say blood has vocal cords. Blood can speak. It's not just some liquid. It can speak. It can cry. It can scream. Blood is loud. Can you say with me, blood is loud? In Message translation of Genesis 4:10, He says, God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is calling to me. That's God speaking. I mean, this guy is dead. The blood is shed. He said, no, but your brother's blood is calling to me from the ground. Perhaps what the blood is saying, oh Lord, avenge me or whatever. But that blood is saying something back to God. So we see that blood is intelligent, it's articulate, and it can be very specific. In the ERV translation of Genesis 4:10, the Bible says, then the Lord said, what have you done? You killed your brother, and the ground opened up to take his blood from your hand. Now his blood is shouting. This is the blood of man. His blood is what? Shouting. So what is the blood of Jesus going to be like? The blood of man, a dead man, is shouting back to God. He's screaming and crying and is loud. I'm trying to tell you, when you say the word, the blood of Jesus, you need to understand what it means, because it is the revelation behind it that brings forth its power into operation. Are you following me? And we're just looking at the blood of man here, not even the blood of Jesus. This blood of man that is crying and shouting and screaming back to God is contaminated blood, blood that is stained with sin. But we all know that the blood of Jesus is not stained with sin. That's why it's able to pay the supreme price to die for us. The female ovum, the blood of the mother or the female does not flow into the female ovum. The same way with the spermatozoa. So when they meet together in conception, that's when blood begins. The blood of that. That's why a HIV positive woman can give birth to a baby that is HIV negative. Why? Because their blood doesn't mix. It's only when they are careless at the point of birth that the blood mixes when the baby is coming out that the baby can be infected. That's why they always do CS for such people. But the female ovum and the spermatozoa, the blood that they carry from the owners, they don't mix with that of the baby. And this is why when the Bible says the Spirit of God will overshadow Mary and Jesus was conceived, you see, it wasn't the blood of Mary. It wasn't contaminated with the blood of human. Are you following me here? Actually, what happened in that place was that the word of God, which is life, was what effected the conception. Are you following me this morning? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of who? Their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. What is the Bible trying to say here? See, the taskmaster were beating the children of Israel, beating them and inflicting wounds on them, and then their blood was flowing, blood was coming out. It was that blood that became a voice back to God. So you see, the pattern we are beginning to see here is God does not ignore the voice of the blood. No, God can't ignore it. The blood of your brother is shouting, screaming. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 19, you know the time God brought plagues upon the children of Egypt because they wouldn't allow the children of Israel to go. One of the plagues was the waters of Egypt turned to blood. And for a long time, I didn't understand the significance of that plague. Let's read it. It says in Exodus 7:19, the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become what? Blood. And that there may be blood throughout the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. You see, God knew that blood has a voice. And the moment there is blood all over the land of Egypt, the blood will report the atrocity of the Egyptians over the children of Israel, so that it can be moved to help them. Is somebody following me? The Bible says all their waters, in the drum, in the tank, in the river, in the sea, everywhere turned to blood. And because blood has a voice, the blood was reporting everybody in Egypt, the household, the taxmaster, their families, and all the punishment that they've meted out of the children of Israel back to God, to a point that God said, I have heard your cry by reason of your sorrows. God needed the justification to wipe them off. So he simply turned all the waters to blood because he knew blood would speak. Blood is regarded as sacred. That's number two. Blood is regarded as sacred. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 22, the Bible says, and Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness. You remember the time they wanted to kill Egypt, Joseph, the brothers of Joseph, they wanted to kill him. The only way Reuben could save him was to tell them, shed no blood. And so they listened to him because they knew blood is sacred. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, he said, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Blood is mysterious, is sacred. If you have a domesticated animal at home, maybe a lion, and you keep it from pup, from just a puppy, a cub, and then you raise it up, that lion won't do anything. It won't attack humans. It won't kill them. But let that lion taste blood once. Everybody's in danger. Even when you have naturally domesticated animals like a dog, you want to be careful you don't feed that dog with blood. The moment the dog tastes blood, it will attack its owners when it's provoked. I have two dogs at home. When they are not crazy, they can't attack. When they see strangers, they bark, they attack, but they don't attack their owners. But once it tastes blood, it's the beginning of problem. That's how mysterious blood can be. Number three, blood protects. Come on, say blood protects. Exodus 12, 21 to 24. The Bible says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out, take you a lamb according to your families. Kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. Come and say the blood. That is the basin. And strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth what? I can't hear you. I want everybody to say. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons. The application of the blood of Jesus is not meant to stop. While we are not going to kill a lamb and put it on our door, because Jesus Christ has already paid the supreme price, we need to still apply the blood to the lintel of our house, to the door of our house, to our mind, to our life, over our children, over our finances, and then in every area of our lives. Follow me this morning. The question is, why couldn't God just ask all the heads of the family to stand by the door and identify themselves? Why blood? You know, God could have said, okay, all the heads of the house, because I'm going to pass over, I don't want to destroy you. Stand by the door, and when I'm passing by, you say, hey, it's me, an Israelite. He said, no, I don't need that. In other words, your human voice is not as loud as the voice of the blood. The attention that the blood will command, when I see it, your voice can't command it. That's what he's saying here. So put the blood there. Stay indoors. Don't come out and identify yourself. But put the blood there. When I see the blood, no evil will touch you. Are you following me here? Now, it's not just a red symbol that did the work. It's the blood. Are you here with me? What will happen if somebody has used a red paint? That person will have died. Now let me give you perspectives about this destroyer that went around. When the Bible says destroyer went about, it's not some angel, cute angel with one stick in his hand, say, alright, who's the first one here? Pam. Alright, next time, who's the first one here? Pum. Alright, well, okay, who's the first one? Oh, you are second born. No, first one. Pam. That angel, the destroyer, I'm going to show you a scripture in a moment, So that you see the strength of that angel. And yet, when the angel saw the blood, he respected it. Some of you don't know what weapon you have in the blood of Jesus. Now look at 2 Samuel 24. And I'm going to read 16 and 17. 2 Samuel 24, verses 16 and 17. The background here, the Bible says that the David was moved to conduct a census in Israel. And conducting a census in Israel at the time was something sinful unto God, because that would mean he's not putting his strength in God. He wanted to put his strength in man. The Bible says he started counting all those men that could go to war. At the end of it, he was able to count 1.3 million soldiers. And they used 8 months to do the counting, the census. Joab was telling David, this thing is not necessary. Why should we go and count? David didn't listen. 8 months, he still did not stop them. He was stubborn. God was looking at him. God allowed him to finish, and then God showed up. And he said, choose between these options. Should I kill you? Should I leave you into the hands of the enemy to chase you for the next 3 months? Which one do you want? David said, let me fall into your hands. God says, since that's what you want. In Genesis and 2 Samuel 4:16, the Bible says, when the angel, that is the same destroyer, he stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy. The angel didn't go to attack anybody. He didn't use stick or sword. Are you following me? He did what? He stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it. The Bible said the Lord repented him of the evil. That's the Lord considered them. And said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by treasure place of Arunah the Jebusite. Verse 17. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people wickedly. Lo, I have sinned and have done wickedly. But this sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. The Bible tells us further in that verse that before God told him, stay thine hand, 70,000 people have died. By stretching forth his hand, 70,000 people have been destroyed. Out of the 1.3 million, they went to count. And if he has not stayed his hand, he will have wiped out the 1.3 million by stretching forth his hands. And yet, this angel that could wipe off humanity by stretching forth of his hand, because he saw the blood, he had to keep on going. Say, no, you don't touch these people. You don't know the amount of respect the devil has for the blood. Lester Sumrall, years ago, was casting out a demon from a demon-possessed girl. And the demon spoke out from the girl and cursed. He cursed God the Father. Cursed God the Son. Cursed God the Holy Spirit. And then cursed the blood in that order. He cursed the blood in such a way as if the blood were a human being or something that is alive. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. Are you following me? When I have difficulty getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, once I begin to plead the blood, it becomes so easy. Come on, say the blood of Jesus. Come on, say the blood of Jesus. Let's go on. Number 4. Blood is necessary for a covenant to be enacted. If there's no blood, there's no covenant. If there's no blood, there's no what? Jesus witnessed the covenant that was between God and Abraham in the book of Genesis. And before that covenant can be effective, there has to be blood. A covenant is an agreement between two people. And the covenant includes the following steps. I will run through it very quickly. The first thing is that an animal is sacrificed. People in old times, they observed this thing. Some of those missionaries that came to Africa, Livingstone and a couple of others, they were made to cut a covenant with the chiefs in Africa before they could access them. Are you following me? And that particular guy, Livingstone, the covenant he cut with one of the chiefs gave him his walking stick, and in exchange, that chief demanded for the little lamb that Livingstone had, and that little lamb was precious to living stone because that was where he was getting milk from. But he had to give it out. He never knew the value of the stick until he went around on his missionary journey. And everywhere where they saw the stick, people were taking a bow. But they recognized what it was. So a covenant is an agreement. So the first thing about a covenant is that an animal is sacrificed. Usually a bull or a goat or a lamb is killed and cut in half down the center, and the two halves are separated with a pool of blood within them. Make sure the blood spread on the ground. The second thing that happens is exchange of coats between the two people. Each participant removes his coat, which is a sign of the tribe's identity and authority, and give it to the other. You remember when Jonathan and David called a covenant, there was an exchange. The third thing that happened is the exchange of weapon belts. Each participant removes his weapon belt, which included the sword and the bow. They will usually exchange these belts, and in so doing, they will declare to each other, all my strength now belongs to you. My enemies are now your enemies. The first thing that happened is exchange of names. Each participant takes the other's names on himself. And you see, a person's name represents the individuality of that person. And the exchange of names demonstrated a death to being an individual. Right now, we are together and we do things together. What happens to you is happening to me. Your concern includes my concern. You care for me as I care for you. Then the next thing, and that's why God changed the name of Abraham from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. Number five is the walk of blood. When they have divided those animals, the two people, they are going to have to walk on the blood. And when they get to the center, and all their feet are bloodied, and they are inside the blood, they will proclaim a blessing and then a curse. A blessing that as we continue to keep this covenant, this blessing and this blessing and this blessing. And that if we break this covenant, these curses will come and these curses will come and these curses will come. So a covenant has two sides, the blessing and the curse. Are you following me? All right. Number six is the cut of the covenant. A knife is used to make an incision on the palm or the wrist of each participant. So the blood will flow freely, and the first thing they will do is to rub the blood together on their hands, signifying and allowing their blood to intermingle. And this signifies or symbolizes that two blood is becoming one blood. In some culture, they will cause the blood to drip into a cup of wine. They'll mix it with wine and both of them will drink it. And then the last thing that happened is the covenant meal. They sit down and they eat together. And this covenant meal ended the blood covenant ceremony. At this point, a new relationship is born. It's a love relationship and all of that. And so one of the things we see that is prominent in the blood covenant is that blood has to be shed. Come on, say blood has to be shed. And this is why the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most pivotal experience, is the shedding of the blood. The shedding of the blood. That was it. That was the crescendo. That was what completed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The shedding of the blood. Now, number five. The blood of Jesus brings total victory and access to all of God's blessings. When Jesus died upon the cross, his own blood was shed and sprinkled by himself as high priest on behalf of the people. So because what used to happen in the Old Testament is that Aaron or any of his sons, they would take a lamb and kill it. And then they would take the lamb and go into the tabernacle and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And when they do that, for the next 1 year, the blood is atoned for, is covered. But when Jesus Christ, when he was going to die, he had to take his own blood. Come on, say with me, his own blood. The offerer had to take the offering, his own blood by himself. Remember when he rose up from the dead and one of the women wanted to touch him and said, no, you can't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. But later when he came, he was telling Thomas, touch me, put your hands there. But the first time he said, no, I've not yet ascended. What he's saying, I've not yet offered my blood. He had to go and take his own blood to heaven before God. Go to the mercy seat and sprinkle his blood, in order for our sin to be atoned for. Are you following me? Yes, all right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, you are bought with a price. You know, we say salvation is free, everything is free. No, You are bought with a price. And he said, because you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. There's a purchase price. That you are born again and a child of God and you are in God's kingdom is not done freely. There's a price that was paid. Somebody says salvation is free. Yes, but somebody paid the price on your behalf. And he said, because the price was paid, glorify God in your body. Don't live your life carelessly. In 1 Peter 1:18 to 19, it tells us what that price, how valuable that price is. It says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of the Father, but with the what? But with the what? Say it loud. But with the what? Precious. That's how powerful that blood is. Precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish. In 1 Peter 1:18 message translation, it said it caused God plenty. Come on, say plenty. To get you out of that dead end. So why do you want to go back to the dead end again? It cost God a lot for you to be here. It wasn't something just trivial. Everything looks so simple. Give your life to Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Savior. And boom, you are born again. It looks so fast. But it cost God plenty. It cost God plenty. Are you following me? When the temple was dedicated on Mount Moriah, in the Old Testament, the actual count of animals slaughtered was amazing. In 1 Kings 8:5, it says, King Solomon and all the children of congregation of Israel who had assembled before him, before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen, so many that they what? They couldn't count it. So much blood has to go. That's Old Testament. For the sins of the people. So much. So many slaughtered. It's not that they want to eat meat. It's the blood that is needed. They were just killing and spilling the blood. Killing them and spilling the blood. Killing them and spilling the blood. For their sins to be atoned. For the dedication of the temple. That God's presence will remain in the temple. I have to see blood. Blood! And not just the blood of one animal. Thousands, millions, it could not be reported. They were slaughtering them. Slaughtering them. Shekwe told you, keep on slaughtering. Keep on slaughtering. Keep on bringing the blood. It's a bloody affair in the Old Testament. And it's still a bloody affair in the New Testament. You just don't know. Come on, say it's a bloody affair. Our gospel is a bloody gospel. Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross in a very cute tuxedo and neat, wonderful, beautiful tie and say, yeah, I'm there on the cross. Crucify me now. It was bloody. So much bloody that the Bible says he didn't look like a human being again. He was beaten so much that the Bible says one wound could not be distinguished from the other. It became a wound, as it were. His visage was no longer like that of a man. His body was, he didn't look like a human being. It was just one structure bloodied. So much blood. Emptied all of his blood before the sacrifice could be complete. In 1 Kings 8:63, same chapter, after the Bible said they did round one, it could not be counted. Same chapter, verse 63, it says, Solomon offered as peace offerings to the Lord 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Blood! Value of the blood. Somebody was trying to estimate how much lambs were slaughtered in the book of Exodus during the Passover. He said if one lamb was slain for 15 persons or on an average throughout the nation of Israel, then for 2.5 million people at the time of Exodus, over 160,000 lambs were slain on that historic night when the bones of Egypt gave way before the blood. In the time of Solomon, the population has increased to 6 million persons. So great was the slaughter of lambs it was estimated at 400,000. But in 1 Corinthians 5:7, glory to God, the Bible declares, Christ has become. Christ has what? If Christ hasn't paid that price, the temple, our service this morning, will have been a bloody affair. All of you have to come with your lamb. The lamb isn't, the temple isn't as quiet as this. Why the priest is ministering? Bleh, bleh. That's how it is. Thousands of lambs and sheep everywhere is dirty, bloody. In order for their sins to be atoned for. The reason you are neat today is because Jesus has become our Passover. However, being neat in the physical is different from being neat in the realm of the spirit. You can be neat in the physical and still a total dirt, as it were, in the realm of the spirit, unless the blood of Jesus washes you clean. Strategic warfare through the blood. That's what we're looking at. And I'm about rounding up in a moment. What has the blood done for us? Ephesians 2:30 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away, through, by, in the blood of Christ, we have been brought near. Come on, say, I've been brought near to God. In the Old Testament, you were so far away. You couldn't come near God. Only the priest can go near God. And even sometimes the priest would die in the process of trying to offer the sacrifice. And they had to tie a rope on his leg and just pull him out because nobody would go in and fetch his corpse. But now we've been brought near by the blood. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we obtain mercy and find grace to help. In the Old Testament, you couldn't go near him. You will die. Meters away, you will vaporize into nothingness. But by the blood. See, somebody can fornicate and come to church. That doesn't mean he won't go to hell if he doesn't repent. But his ability to sit down comfortably under the Shekinah glory of God is because of the blood. You couldn't do that in the Old Testament. You mess up. Aaron and Miriam, they were talking against Moses at the time. Are you only the pastor? Are you the only one? Who are you, sir? They became white with leprosy. Are you following me here? In Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How can somebody who has done a lot of bad things just come and say, Lord, forgive me, and is forgiven? The blood. Come on, shout the blood. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 9, let's run through some things. Very quickly, my time is almost up. He says, now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest also once every year, not without blood. Come on, say, not without blood. Which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once. Come on, say once. See, in the Old Testament, they have to do it regularly, every year. Jesus entered once, come on, say once, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an ephah sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. A lot of people come like, I'm born again, but I still do that. I still do this. I do some bad things. You've not allowed the blood to do its work in your life. The blood will purge. It will purge your conscience. It will clean it. It will sanctify it. Are you following me here? If you have problem with bad thoughts, lustful thoughts, sexual thoughts, by reason of what you have done in time past, the experiences you have gone through, imagine somebody who's a prostitute, now becomes born again, he's going to have his mind messed up with thoughts. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus. Every time those thoughts come, he said the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus on my mind. Those thoughts will go back. Casting down imagination and every eye seeing. Are you following me here? You don't come around and say, hey, I have a problem. My thoughts, man. Plead the blood of it. It will purge your conscience from dead works. I just told you how to deal with negative thoughts. In the Message translation of Hebrews 9:14, it says, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out. In Hebrews 9:15, follow me, I'm rounding up. Christ the Messiah is therefore the negotiator. Come on, say the negotiator. And the mediator. Come on, say the mediator. Of an entirely new agreement, testament, or covenant. You see, Jesus Christ had to negotiate with his blood. Otherwise, you can't be here. The devil will have wiped you out. The devil has all kind of demons. Demon of hatred, demon of violence. So when you see a Boko Haram guy take a knife and slaughter a fellow human being, say, ah, how can somebody do this? No, there's a demon of hatred and violence behind that. When the demon of hatred and violence are in operation, they stir up people to kill themselves. That's what you have when you have xenophobia and all those kind of things, genocidal situations, is the demon of hatred in operation. And that demon of hatred is all over the place. Why couldn't they kill you? The blood. If that blood were taken off your life, in 1 minute you'll be dead. You'll be gone. The reason you are just, you know, is the blood. Come on, somebody shout the blood. The blood of Jesus. That's why you're looking so cute this morning. The devil coming out but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. If he has the chance now, he will kill you. You won't leave church before he does it. He doesn't have the chance because of the blood. Can't do it. He's powerless because of the blood. Glory to God. Jesus negotiated it. Verse 16 says, for where there is a last will and testament involved, he's talking about the scriptures and the promises. The death of the one who made it must be established. For a will and a testament is valid and takes effect only at death. If I write a will, for example, the will cannot go into effect until I'm gone. Are you following me? And I've not written any will because I'm not ready to go. Hello, somebody. Until the person goes, the will cannot be. So the Bible is saying here that since it has no force or legal power as long as the one who made it alive. So even the old or first covenant, that is God's will for us, was not inaugurated and ratified and put in force without the shedding of the blood. It was the shedding of the blood that brought the will, the testament, into reality. It was the shedding of blood that gave you and I access to the promises of God. When the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. What made that will to come to effect is the ratification by the blood of Jesus. If Jesus didn't die, his promises will not go into effect. The moment somebody dies, the lawyer comes and begins to read the will. This belongs to you. This belongs to that. When Jesus died, he sent the Holy Ghost to interpret the will to us and to tell us what belongs to you and I. Are you still with me? Verse 19. For when every command of the law had been read out by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of slain calves and goats together with water and scarlet wood and with a bunch of hyssop, he would sprinkle both the book, the roll of the law, and the covenant itself and all the people, saying these words, this is the blood that seals and ratifies the agreement, the testament, the covenant which God has commanded me to deliver to you. The same way is sprinkled with the blood. It's talking about Jesus. The tabernacle, or the sacred vessels and appliances used in white worship. In fact, under the law, almost everything is purified by means of the blood. There's no purification but unless with the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's neither release from sin and its guilt, nor the remission of the due and merited punishment for sins. By such means, therefore, it was necessary for the earthly copies of the heavenly things to be purified. But the actual heavenly things themselves require far better and nobler sacrifices than this. For Christ, the Messiah, verse 24, has not entered into a sanctuary made with human hands, only a copy and pattern and type of the true. But he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf. In other words, Jesus Christ took his blood on the behalf of you and I and went before God and said the price has been paid. No more judgment on the behalf of so-so person. This person cannot just die anyhow. This person is protected. This person must prosper. Why? By the blood. It was the blood that was shed that ratified the covenant. The word of God and his promises is our covenant. But those promises don't come into reality until the blood was shed. And every time you are still trying to claim that promises, including the promises of healing, you need to go back to the blood. Verse 26. For then he will have to offer to suffer over and over again since the foundation of the world, but now he has once and for all. Are you following me? Hebrews 10, 14. I read Message translation. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. So you come and say, well, I'm not perfect. You don't have any problem. Jesus is here to perfect your imperfections. Are you here with me? By that single offering, he did everything needed that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. Verse 17, he concludes, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of their sins. Now, verse 18, where remission of this is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Come on, say boldness. To enter into the holiest by what? By the blood. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. You can't come with a deceptive heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Jesus Christ shed his blood to ratify the covenant so that the promise of his word can become a reality. But then he tells us, you have to come and hold on to the profession of your faith. In other words, you confess the blood regularly, if possibly daily. The voice of the blood is loud. He said, the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So we have people in your lives who have spoken negative things against you. People you have hurt, and out of the heart of their heart made pronunciation, and you didn't know. You are kidding anymore. Especially for elderly people, you offend them, you cheat them, they will make proclamations and say it's a lie. Those words made in offense and hurt can affect and stagnate people's lives. Times when you push your parents to the wall and you offend them, and they made proclamations. Times when
when they were trying to help you, but in their ignorance, they were making negative confessions. It was like, hey, this way you are lazy. You can't make it like this. Those are negative words that can stop you. How do you reverse them? Lord. When the effect of those negative spirits, let's assume you've been saying negative things like, nobody can make it in this Nigeria. The moment you say it, the spirit is assigned to ensure you don't make it. Now, you are born again, you have more light. How am I going to reverse this thing? The blood. So the spirit is coming and saying, no, he can't make it. He said he can't make it. But the voice of the blood is louder. And it speaks better things. I said, no, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's in God. He's in Christ. He's renewed. Are you following me? Now, for the blood to go into effect, you must make these proclamations on a consistent basis. That is why we printed out a confession of the blood last week, Wednesday, if you are not around, and we distributed to everybody. We still have copies. Before you go, ask the pastors, they will give you. They will give it to you. You make those proclamations on a daily basis, so that every negative word you have spoken will not come to effect. Are you following me? Let me tell you how powerful words are. It's a word as spirit. Somebody can proclaim a negative curse, and the person dies. Yet, the curse will not die. Because words are spirit, and spirits don't die. Are you following me here? Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. 25. I'm rounding up. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Coming to church like this has something to do with the blood. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, he said, We have come to Zion, to Mount Zion, to the mountains of God. He said, to the sprinkling of the blood. Every time you attend service, it's not religion. Blood is being sprinkled. So we have come to Mount Zion. One of the things he said is to the sprinkling of the blood. Every time the word of God is being proclaimed, worship is going on, the blood is being sprinkled by angels over your life. It's not physical, you don't see it, but that is why you can go back and come back and you are still safe. And that voice of the blood is so loud. Somebody want to hurt you, the blood speaks. No! That's why I say, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, let no man trouble me. Are you here with me? Somebody shout the blood. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice. He's saying, look, the blood has been shed. Jesus will not die the second time. If you still go back and you are living habitual sin, you are on your own. That's what he's saying here. He said, the only thing that remains, verse 27, is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Why is it that the moment you refuse the blood, the only thing remaining is judgment? Because it costs God so much. It's not easy. God became man to come. The agony Jesus went through on the cross for you and I. And now you now refuse that. Say, I don't want to. He said, the only thing remaining for you is a fearful indignation. Come on, say, I can't refuse the blood. Can't. You refuse the blood, it's your own detriment. Verse 28 says, he that despised Moses' law, that's just Moses' law, the blood of bulls and goats, last one, he died without mercy under two or three witnesses. They will ensure he's dead. The witness say, yes, we confirm. Now, verse 29 says, how much more sorrow punishment? Suppose ye, he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath despised and hath done despite of the Spirit of grace. He said, when you refuse the blood, you refuse grace. church door, it's dangerous. He said, you are treating the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing. How much sorrow, punishment. You see, because this Christian, you see, as a child of God, we do a lot of things to hinder ourselves. The warfare of the blood of Jesus in using it for victory is in the proclamation of it, in the use of words, and then in your own lifestyle, making sure you do all that is needed for you to be done. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Your confidence in the blood. It has great recompense of reward. Verse 35 in Message translation says, don't throw it all away now. Verse 36, you have need of patience, and after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. 37, a little while, he that shall come, will not tire. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man slacks, if any man says, well, it's Elijah, I'm not doing it. He said, my soul have no pleasure in such a person. Verse 38 in Amplified says, but the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Divine things must be respected. What are divine things? Serving God, coming to church, reading your Bible, having a time of worship, paying your tithe, giving your offering, honoring God with your service. Divine things, respecting that relationship. Verse 39, that's what I love. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Tell your neighbor, I'm not of them that will draw back. Come on, shout, no drawing back. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the blood. We are not of them that discard the blood. We are not of them that despise the sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross on the behalf of you and I. We are not of them that ignore God and the sacrifice. How do you despise the blood? Continue in your habitual sin. You know it's wrong, but you continue. You are drawing back. That will never be your portion in Jesus' name. So you learn to declare this thing regularly. Somebody shout the blood of Jesus. I can hear you shout the blood. Get up on your feet. Begin to make proclamations over your life. Over negative words that have been spoken. There's no time. My time is over. I'll quickly do this. Listen. If you are here, you have. It's to you. The situation is impossible. I saw it like a flash. I didn't want to do this. But I saw it like a flash. The situation is like. I don't think there's a way out for this. It's not everybody. Not few people. I want to pray for you quickly. Jump out quickly if you are like that. That is an please, it's not everybody. That it's almost like an impossible case. The devil, Chuck, it's almost Chuck. Like this is not possible.
Chuck,
I
Chuck,
want to pray.
Chuck,
not
Chuck.
Everybody, please. Lift up your two hands.
Chuck. 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 Chuck.
There's no time. I'm going to administer the blood and you're going to share your testimony. Lift up your two hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By the blood. By the blood. Those of you in the congregation, pray the Holy Ghost concerning your life. Pray out loud, 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 loud. By the blood. By the blood. The yokes are broken in your life. That impossibility is becoming possible. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The blood. The blood of Jesus. People of God, don't fear negative things again. Cast not away your confidence. Come boldly to Him. The sacrifice is complete. It is finished. There's not one drop of Jesus left to be shed. Everything is shed. The supreme sacrifice has been paid. You have been made free. The devil has lost over your life in the name of Jesus. I proclaim over your life this morning, by the blood of Jesus, that this year will be unto you a year of supernatural speed. Every area of life where you need the help of God, help is coming to you now in the name of Jesus. In this new week, you will see God. In this new week, heaven will assist you. In this new week, help of destinies will come your way. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody say, while we are seated, all eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you are here and you've not given your life to Jesus and you want to do so this morning, or you've done so before but now you want to rededicate your life, I want to pray for such people. Just put up your right hand. Let me know if I'm praying for anybody and I'll quickly lead you in prayer. God bless you. I see that hand. Any other person? Quickly. Any other person? I'm waiting. 30 seconds. Any other person? God bless you. I see that hand. Any other person? Any other person? Join them. You have 10 seconds left. Any other person? All right. Those of you whose hands are raised, put that hand on your chest. And say after me, Lord Jesus, I declare you died for my sins. You shed your blood on my behalf. You rose up on the third day. And this day, I declare, I confess your Lordship. I declare you are my Lord from today. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior from today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Welcome to the family of God. Can we put hands together for Jesus? After the service, our pastors will attend to you. God God bless and honor you. Let's give to God very quickly so that we can take communion. Our time is fast spent. All tithers, please kindly step forward. Let me have my phone. If you want to make a transfer, the media will help us with the transfer codes. You can make transfer with any of these available codes here. Also, we have a POS at the back there. So you can walk up to this side of the auditoriums. The auditorium and then the ushers will attend to you. If you are paying your tithe, please step forward. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound, that we, always having all sufficiency, may be able to abound unto every good work. This year, can you bring the sound down a little bit? This year, we all made a commitment in Shadow Grace Center never to miss our tithe. We told ourselves, we don't even need to get to church before you pay your tithe. Get the church account, make transfer, and let's honor God together as a house. Because he said, try me and see. So one of the things you can do is this year, I want to try God and see. You make up your mind never to miss your tithe. It's our commitment in Shadow Grace Center. And we know that God will help us. So if you are part of this family, one of the decisions you are making in 2020, our year of super.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Keke Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.